And that is, how are you dealing with doubts and unbelief? How are you dealing with doubts and unbelief? And I think this message is fairly appropriate, considering that we're entering a new year, and in this new year, why the Lord tarries, in which I think he is, there is a walk of faith, and in that walk of faith, there is still much to learn and to be delivered from. Because as technology advances, as the spirit of this age moves more and more over planet Earth, we are going to find, if we're truly overcomers walking by faith, that this is going to expose us. God is permitting and allowing the powers of darkness, this last generation, to expose the overcomers. And these are the conditions in which, if we're walking close with God, will teach us to walk totally by faith. Because there's coming now a time where we're having to seriously consider some things that we cannot partake of. That is, on a moral and ethical point of view. Because we know what it points to. We know ultimately what is going to come. Because a lot of technology that we have today is tracking our everyday moves and what we're doing. And the world just goes along with it, blinded, because it's so taken up with technology, the pride of man, what he can invent, that he cannot see the evil that is actually lying behind it. Now, we know that a lot of technology God uses in order for us to be able to continue in this walk. We know this to be a fact, the very reason we're online tonight. God is using the computer, technology. But we don't know how long, even this that we become used to, we don't know how long we can use this. There may come a time when we'll actually be barred from the rooms, if we're Christian, and the message we're teaching. It's very interesting now that I've heard with regard to YouTube. YouTube now are really making investigations on a lot of Christian videos. And some are now being barred from the rooms, or they're using all sorts of excuses. And I think this is just the start of what is happening, because they're tracking us. No doubt this evening, this teaching, this gathering tonight online is being tracked. They may well be even listening. And who knows, even some may receive Christ as their Saviour. But God is on the throne. And so we need to raise this question tonight. How are you dealing with doubts and unbelief? Because if fear is still present in us, and what I have just said causes you to go in fear and trembling, then something's wrong. God is having to deal and get out those fears because they fight against faith and doubt. Fear paralyzes faith. And we can have all sorts of areas of fear where we're still being delivered from, because we're all different. Primarily, the sword of the Spirit, the Word of God, is the greatest remedy, spiritual medicine for fear and unbelief. And of course, much of that is recorded in the Scriptures. So, how are you dealing with doubts and unbelief? Let's turn to 2 Corinthians 13 and verse 5. 2 Corinthians chapter 13 and verse 5, which tells us, examine yourselves as to whether you are in the faith. Test yourselves. Do you not know yourselves that Jesus Christ is in you, unless indeed you are disqualified? So, the Apostle Paul is saying to the Corinthians in this second letter, examine yourselves as to whether you are in the faith. And true overcomers who have a revelation of faith will examine themselves periodically. We were all introduced into the deeper life teaching through faith and belief in the Word of God. And it was presented to us where God ultimately, if we can believe, will bring us to a place where we totally trust Him and walk by faith. Yes, that is very controversial, and few hold to that and adhere to that. But a remnant that God has now in these last days, and He has throughout the world, will hear this. And if we're truly hearing this, and we desire that God works in us to walk by faith in these last days, then we're going to do what the apostle says here. Examine yourselves as to whether you are in the faith. And to do that, you have to be worked upon by God, in which you keep yourself humbled in His presence. And we've had much about that over the years. For this very reason, because then it causes us to be honest before God and not living a double life. Honesty will cause you and help you to examine yourselves as to whether you are in the faith or not. And if you're not in faith, if you're not believing God, then He has exposed that for a reason, in order for you to do something about it. In other words, to come clean with God. I think we're still taking too lightly when we find we're not in faith as we thought we were or should be. We still take it too lightly. Well, God knows, and indeed He does know. And the good news about the fact that God knows is that He wants you to know. And here we are, we can know this if we're willing to allow ourselves to be examined. Examine yourselves. In other words, you are laying yourself open and allowing the Holy Spirit to take over, to examine. In other words, he does a thorough examination from the top of our heads to the soles of our feet. It's like a spiritual scanning that you allow the Holy Spirit to do in order that he can put right those areas where we're still not believing. And maybe we've never viewed that quite in that way, but I believe that's what he's saying. You see, the test is whether you experience Jesus Christ in you, because he is our faith, which is what it's saying in here. Test yourselves. Do you not know yourselves that Jesus Christ is in you? In other words, he raises a question. Do you not know that God, Jesus himself, lives in you? Do you just take that for granted? Or is it something you read and you know theologically? Or is that your experience? Your faith to believe comes from the one who lives in you. That is really what he is saying here. It's whether the believer is believing in the one that lives in and through you. When you begin to start to understand this, you realize that yes, I can believe and do believe. You start to know that all things are possible to them that believe. Because it's not just about me. It's about Jesus Christ in you, which the scripture says is the hope of glory. Now, I'm going to raise a question tonight. Is unbelief and doubt and fear in Jesus? I think not. For he triumphed at Calvary. He said, it's done, it's complete, it's finished. The completion of faith to believe and overcome and walk by faith is accomplished and done at Calvary. I have done it. I have walked it. I have overcome and remain spotless and holy. And Satan and the powers of darkness and the spirit of this age has nothing in me. And indeed it didn't, for God raised him, and he now sits at the right hand of the Father in glory, in a ministry of intercession, in which he is imparting through the Holy Spirit himself the same experience, the same faith that he walked by is the same in you that he is ministering by the Spirit. So why is it we have a problem in believing that? This is why we need to examine ourselves. And you have to apply these tests. And we're going to look at this in four areas where I believe the Lord has quickened to me with regard to applying these tests. You could apply many more, but I think this is what he wants us to know tonight. And the first area that we are to apply is, do I love the Lord? Do I love him? You see, Peter thought he loved the Lord, and he was prepared to go even to death. But his love was impulsive. His love had not really permeated the heart. There wasn't a faith love, an agape love. But we see in time later how God changed that man. And I raise that because if we're going on with the Lord, this is what he's doing with us. Now let's turn to some scriptures. John chapter 13 and verse 34. John 4. New commandment I give to you, that you love one another as I have loved you, that you also love one another. By this all will know that you are my disciples, if you have love for one another. So there we are. That's no complete shock, bolt out of the sky. He's bringing us back to the basics. And here he is saying, do you love me? Because if you do love me, then something within you desires to keep my commandments. And that's what he's working within us. A lot of our faith that he's working with, remember that he is the potter, we are the clay. We're told in scripture he is the author and finisher of our faith. A lot of what he's doing in us is getting us to a place where we keep his commandments if we say we love him. Because keeping his commandments deals with doubt and unbelief. It could well be if you're dealing with doubt and unbelief and you're not in the place of faith as you should be, it is because you are still yet not keeping his commandments. And the idea of this keeping his commandments is the idea of not letting it go. I keep it with me 24/7. I keep that cry, that need, that understanding, that want, that desire. I don't let it go. I can't rest until I'm seeing areas of my life keeping his commandments. Because he knows we don't get this immediately. We know that by the disciples. I've already said about Peter. But he knew within Peter that there was a desire and a love for God that he wanted. And that's what sorts out the men from the boys. So that is what he looks for, and that is what we are to examine ourselves before God. You could raise a question if you're completely open and honest. Lord, do I really want to keep your commandments? Is this in my heart? Is this what I really want? Because you know all things. And he will show. He won't turn a deaf ear on a request like that. Because if we don't keep his commandments, that's a clear indication that something isn't right. Therefore, he's wanting us to examine ourselves so that he can highlight and show so that we can get it right. You see, God is never going to show something unless he gives the grace, his mercy, for you to overcome and get it right. That is his love. And so he brings this basic thing up. Do you love me? Because the bride loves the bridegroom. It is the motivation of herself getting ready. It is that causes her to overcome. It is that is going to make us overcomers, where we're going to be caught out of this world and this wickedness. That isn't rocket science. It is a fact. Let's turn also to 1 John chapter 2. John, of course, speaks much about this. 1 John chapter 2 and verses 8 to 11. 8 to 11 of 1 John chapter 2. Again, a new commandment I write to you, which thing is true in him and in you, because the darkness is passing away and the true light is already shining. He who says he is in the light and hates his brother is in darkness until now. He who loves his brother abides in the light, and there is no cause for stumbling in him. But he who hates his brother is in darkness and walks in darkness and does not know where he is going, because the darkness has blinded his eyes. Here again, God gives the test of an overcomer. Here again is where we are to examine ourselves with regard to my attitude and heart towards the brethren. Because it starts first there. If you cannot love the brethren with the love of God, then you cannot love your neighbour and your enemy. Forget it. If you can't get it right in the house of God, you certainly will not get it right in the world. And he says that if we do not love, we actually walk in darkness. And the tragedy is that those who have hate, unforgiveness, resentment in their heart are blinded to the fact they walk in darkness. They are not children of the light. And they can call themselves Christians and believers and everything, but the facts are they are not. So we have the opportunity to allow ourselves to be examined. I ask the Lord to show me about my heart and my attitude towards my brothers and sisters in the body. God is going to get this one right, because this assembly will not go on to the next level if we don't get this right and examine ourselves in the light of Scripture and through the working of the Holy Spirit. Do we still favour some above others? Do we get on with one or two better than we get on with somebody else? That is how the world lives. That's the type of love they have. That isn't found in the house of God. That is the whole point. We talk much about love, but unless we keep his commandments, which he says to love the brethren, then we're not. And we've all been tested in the areas of love, and we may still be tested. But those who truly love God will allow themselves to be examined, will examine themselves. And the reason that they will examine themselves, because they're walking in humility and honesty. And that is what characterizes it. The proud, the arrogant, cannot understand this. And the reason they cannot understand this is because they believe that they love the brethren. They believe that they love their enemy. So what they are in effect doing is they look down upon the righteous. And I will pray for you that you love your enemy. I will pray for you. And they cannot see in what a desperate need they have for those to pray for them. There is the blindness. And you find that goes on amongst Christendom. We always approach everything that God does and says, in the hardened spirit, there go I by the grace of God. I am a product of his grace, and I boast in nothing, only in Jesus Christ, my Lord and Saviour. So take faith in your life, motivated by the word only. Or have you considered that faith must also be motivated by love? And that was one of the big problems, wasn't it, in the early days. Our faith was simply motivated by the word of God, because that's how you get faith. Romans 10:17. But we had to start to grow and mature and to realise that there's something even greater, and that is God's command to love one another, because everything stems and comes from that. And as we started to grow and mature, we also realise that faith is a fruit of the Spirit. And by the fruit, you know them. And so it's not only just motivated by the word, and indeed we know that faith comes by the word, by hearing that word, reading that word, but its operation, its fruitfulness, has to have love. Jesus often was moved with compassion. It was that love that quickened faith. Not just the word, but also that love. And much of Jesus' faith, which was demonstrated, was an act of love, compassion, mercy, reaching out to the needs of the people. But the motivation was always in love. It was a sacrificial love. That love that he was demonstrating was pointing to a sacrificial love which he had and one day demonstrated, which is called Calvary. And it is exactly the same with us, brothers and sisters. This love that I speak about, which our faith is to operate with, is a sacrificial love. A love that you're not looking for anything back in return. There are times that we read when they were healed, they probably went off, they probably didn't even thank him, they didn't give God any of the glory, but that didn't matter. He was motivated by that sacrificial love which quickened his faith. But we're still looking for recognition. We're still looking for thanks. We're still looking for some identification that what you have done has been appreciated. And it's not easy to be a doormat, to serve, to not be important, to probably be ignored, not even aware whether you're in the room or not. And yet that is the sort of love God is looking for that serves. Because if we don't learn to serve, we won't have that faith that will bring those miracles and blessings. You can forget it. So these are areas again in which to examine ourselves. Faith has to be motivated by the love of God. Faith has to have other virtues added to it in order for faith to be motivated by love. And we see this in 2 Peter chapter 1 and verse 5. 2 Peter chapter 1 and verse 5. Look what faith needs. It's clear here. But also for this very reason, giving all diligence, add to your faith virtue, to virtue knowledge, to knowledge self-control, to self-control perseverance, to perseverance godliness, to godliness brotherly kindness. There we are, what we're talking about. And to brotherly kindness love. That is what faith requires. It's more than just the Word of God. The Word of God is the means of this being worked in our lives as God plants that seed through the Word. But it's quite clear what we're to add to our faith. Virtue, knowledge, knowledge of God, knowledge of His ways, a knowledge and understanding of the Father's heart, and to knowledge self-control. You're not free to do and express what you want to do. We willingly bring our members into control. Modesty. Self-control. And with self-control, perseverance. So we stay with it, even though it may take a long time. And to perseverance, godliness. Notice what it starts to bring, a godliness about you. And to godliness, brotherly kindness. And brotherly kindness, all of that is saying, listed there, is love. Is the love of God, which He says He commands us to love. Quite clear. Well, thirdly, remembering our title this evening is How Are You Dealing With Doubts And Unbelief? Thirdly, do you accept that faith in my life is active? That's what you have to examine. Is faith in my life active or not? And again, we know such scriptures that encourage us in this. But again, let's just look at James chapter 2, verse 17. James chapter 2 and verse 17. Thus also, faith by itself, if it does not have works, is dead. So a good question that maybe we need to raise before God with regard to examination, Lord, is my faith dead? I wonder how many of us have ever asked God that, and we wonder why we're not growing. How about verse 20? But do you want to know, O foolish man, that faith without works is dead? So many can speak faith, but the cost of it is the acting, is the stepping out, is the believing. And sometimes faith can look foolish. The world does not understand our faith. Sometimes even in the body of Christ, they don't fully understand a saint that's stepping out in faith. But who are we to criticize? Let's get behind them in prayer, standing with them, believing. So do you accept that faith in my life is active or not? And if it isn't active, then we know what to do. God has given us access into His presence. He's given us the blood of the Lamb to cleanse, to deal with these areas of unbelief. Our faith will ultimately deliver us from the world. I actually believe that the deeper life, its goal, which is of course to make us overcomers, to make us the first fruits, which we know, but the ultimate of our faith is that when he comes in the clouds, we're ready to be taken. The ultimate of our faith. And yet we can take that one for granted. Oh, well, when he comes, I'll be ready. But the point is, he's given us the faith teaching, the deeper life, in order for that to happen. And there are signs that we have in our lives that will reveal that we're on the right track for that. You see, it's very simple, and it's a question you need to ask yourself, but do I still love this world too much? And it doesn't take a lot to discern that one. There's a balance in everything because Jesus has left us in this world for a reason. For us to overcome, to deal with us, to root out all unbelief and so forth. And to remain in the world and yet not be part of it takes a real work of grace and mercy. Because it was always the problem with Israel. Israel's idolatry eventually caused them to perish in the wilderness. There was that refusal to let God root out the world, Babylon, out of their hearts. Babylon is very subtle, is very deceiving. And it has a lot of alluring things that take a lot of our time and attention. And the only way that we're going to be separated from this is to allow the Holy Spirit to examine ourselves in honesty and ask him to do that work. Because otherwise, we will always compromise and we will have our idols in our lives. Man is naturally idolatrous. That's what sin did when he fell. And so God has to root out these idols, which again are a huge hindrance to faith and to believing. For example, let's turn to 1 John 5 and verse 4. 1 John chapter 5. And verse 4, for whatever is born of God overcomes the world, and this is the victory that has overcome the world, our faith. So again, this is why we make much about faith, because faith causes us to overcome the world. In other words, it gets the world out of our hearts, where we're solely set apart for the Lord Jesus Christ. That's what it's meaning here. So is the faith that I hear, the deeper life, is it doing that work in me? Getting the world out of my heart. What is the world? Everything that we rely upon. Those things where we still go to the arm of the flesh, where we're still looking for support from man instead of God. And that can be in diverse ways. That's what he's weaning out of us, so that you don't need anything or anyone else except the Lord Jesus Christ, who lives in his fullness in your life. He is your all-sufficiency. That's the ultimate working of the deeper life. He says, whatever is truly born of God overcomes the world. In other words, you don't rest with it. You are on a journey with this. It is a new challenge each day, overcoming the world, drawing off the strength of the one that lives in you. Are you aware of those experiences each day? We should be, because we're walking a miraculous walk. We're not walking like the world walks. It also says in John 16 and verse 33, as we bring this now to a conclusion, John 16 and verse 33, these things I have spoken to you, that in me you may have peace. In the world you will have tribulation, but be of good cheer, I have overcome the world. And that's why we can have hope tonight in this, because otherwise it would be impossible, because we just love the world too much and what it's got to offer. But be of good cheer, because he says, I have overcome the world. And therefore, because he has overcome the world, the one who lives in us will help us also to overcome the world. And a lot of overcoming the world is not believing the world's lies. I find myself more and more not believing much what I hear. However eloquent it may be, however educated that person may be, or whatever technology is trying to speak. We've got all forms of voices speaking today. Most of it I shelve or dismiss. Because the Word of God says, I have overcome the world, which means its lies, its deceptions, its greed, its violence, everything you can think of, which is getting worse and worse and worse. We overcome that, and yet we are still sidetracked by what we hear, by what man is saying. Oh, well, he's educated, she is educated, they know something about that. They may well do. And we don't criticize that. But we walk, we listen, we see, we hear on a much higher level that is above the world. Our news comes from heaven, from God himself. It is called the Word of God. It is the good news of the gospel. That is the difference. And that is why we don't believe what man confesses or he confesses over us, whatever it is. I still find it sad when some go to the arm of the flesh or they go to a doctor. I'm not criticizing that, but what I do find sad is the worry and anxiety until they diagnose and find what the problem is, then you suddenly see a change. I now know what is wrong with me. Praise the Lord. And we've already received what they've said, but listen to what it does to us. Isn't it sad? Isn't it sad that when we went before God with regard to our problems, our sickness, whatever, that we were not persuaded then by the good news, what God says about it. I know, because I've had to examine myself with regard to that. I've had to come clean before God. I was more persuaded by what man said than by what you said, Lord. Forgive me. Have mercy over my life. That's what you do when you examine yourselves. So that your life, your heart and spirit become sensitive before God. And where there is sin, or you've said the wrong thing, the wrong confession, you can get it under the blood of the Lamb immediately. That is what is walking sensitively before God. But sadly, there are still things that come out of our mouth we're still not aware of yet. Maybe your brother and sister is. They've heard it. And if you do, and even from me, then get in prayer, intercession, that God will reveal those areas of unbelief that are still coming out of their mouth. That's what we're to do if we love one another. If we love our brother and sister, we want the best for them. We don't want them walking in unbelief and sin. We know what to do. We get in prayer and intercession that they can get that deliverance, that change. That is what love will do. It will not criticize or talk it up to other people. Did you hear what come out of her mouth? Listen to all that unbelief. It's about time that she started confessing the word of God. She's been in the walk long enough. That doesn't edify. Anyone can say that. We should know what to do and get in prayer. Because that could be me. It could be you. So the question is, do you draw strength from this? That's the question. Because he says, these things I've spoken to you, that in me you might have peace. In the world you have tribulation, but be of good cheer, I've overcome. So don't try and work it out. Try not to work out or understand why you're going through what you're going through. My trials that I go through don't make any sense. They never will. This whole walk doesn't make any sense. This preaching tonight in the natural doesn't make any sense. But to those who have Christ, his spirit within them, it does. Because our hearing, our understanding is of another level, of another dimension, is from heaven. Because he's made us a new creation. And so if we want to be those overcomers, the first fruits, the bride that's making herself ready, then we overcome the world. And a lot of overcoming the world is stop believing it and what it says. Who is the God of this world? Satan, until he's finally put down. What is the nature of Satan? He's a liar and a murderer. Why then do we want to believe all of that and take it on board? Because that's where it comes from. The Bible says he blinds the eyes of the world. And we are heading towards the greatest conflict, where it will be Christ who will deal and meet with the God of this world, Satan. That's the ultimate warfare. That is why we need to move with him and not fight against him. But to believe in and trust him as he prepares the remnant, the bride. He's clearing the heavenlies so that we can rightfully take that place to reside and dwell there, which at the moment the enemy does, and he shouldn't be there. He should never have been there. But God is going to remove him. And that is the promise. And so we are seeing an unfolding now of evil in the world, of violence, you name it. Everything is digressing rapidly. Why do we want to be friends with that? Why do we want to rely on that? When it's going into judgment, God has saved you and I from judgment. We're not to be judged with the world. He saved us from that. What a wonderful blessing that is. So allow the power of the Holy Spirit to cause you to overcome the world. And a lot of the overcoming of the world is stop believing its lies. Because its lies at times can be like an angel of light. If it were possible, even the very elect could be deceived. That's how close. How are you dealing with doubts and unbelief? That's what we've been looking at tonight, brothers and sisters. And I trust that this will cause us to go before God and to allow the Holy Spirit in which to examine, to be open, to be honest, to get a lot of these weights off our back so that we can start to walk this faith walk which is motivated by the love of God. Because as he said, if you love me, keep my commandments. I believe the Lord is saying tonight, if you love me, then believe that this word is for you. Heavenly Father, we thank us finding out. We don't know unless the Holy Spirit opens our ears and eyes and heart. Give us, Father, of these doubts, fear and unbelief that still hinder our faith. You have redeemed us by the blood of the Lamb. And we are your work in progress. But we also know that when we hear your word, it is for a reason. And you highlight those things in our lives for a reason, that it can be washed by the blood of the Lamb. Hear our prayers, hear our cries, Father. If it means that we are to be made more desperate, then do it. Know that we are to walk by faith, and we want to walk by faith, because we know that that is what glorifies you. Our prayer and our intercession is whatever is still hindering, in your mercy, remove it. Know that there is a cost with that. We know that maybe it takes purifying fire to deal with that. That's why our trials should not be strange to us. Goal of the deeper life for the overcomer. Work that complete separation in our hearts, we ask, Father, in Jesus' name.
Let him in constancy follow the master.
A life down before you and cradled in the love of Jesus, I'll find security.